check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave, joined as always by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
I am, I'm pretty stupendous. I'm pretty great. I'm picking up what you're stepping in.
Picking up what I'm stepping in?
Yep, yeah. Yep.
What if what I'm stepping in is kind of stinky and smelly?
Well, then I guess we might be watching a Rob Zombie movie.
Oh, ouch.
I'm sorry, that was a little too hot for the beginning of the show.
Coming out of the gate! There you go.
Man.
wow. Okay. Today, hopefully, we're a little more positive about it. We're going to be reviewing the movie Humaine, which thankfully is not a Rob Zombie movie. But we will be talking about that later on in the episode. Before we get there, we have lots to do and lots to talk about. And let's begin with Ike. What did you watch this week?
Well. So actually, weirdly enough, we took a small break from Supernatural. We averted our attention to the final season of Evil. That's a show that's on Paramount Plus. Unfortunately, I have to use the Paramount Plus app to watch it. The first three seasons are on Netflix, but the newest and the last season is on Paramount, so I have to use it. We took a small break. I think we're about halfway through the season. And in fact, I think the last episode comes out tonight. So we should be able to finish that up and get back to Supernatural probably over this weekend, if I had to guess.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And let's see what I've done. You're plugging away still. Always watching Supernatural. Plugging away still in the X-Files we watched. I did rewatch The Lost Boys today. On the anniversary of its release.
Oh, yeah.
As we record this, one of my favorite movies. We talked about that last episode. But otherwise, that's pretty much it. So,
can't beat it.
Status quo as usual.
Right.
So, let's move on then to our next segment.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And this is our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where we present to you what we said, a cheesy slasher, kind of a goofy, silly, low budget, however you want to say it, slasher movie. And this week we present to you the movie Gutterballs. It is described as a bowling night will turn into a bloody death match for a team of teenagers as a deranged serial killer is taking them down one by one. The movie was released on January 18th, 2008 at film festivals and released to DVD on January 27th, 2009. The movie was written and directed by Ryan Nicholson, starring Alistair Gamble, Nathan Witt, and others. The film was released as unrated because they were told they would have to cut 20-plus movies of the film in order to get an NC-17 rating. If you watch this film, you'll know why. It is a pretty graphic movie. In every aspect of the word. Some facts. The killer calls the bowling alley on the number 976-3845, which is 976-EVIL, the name of another slasher movie, noticeably directed by Robert Englund. So a little tip of the cap to that. The movie is also known for using the word fuck more than 500 times. And that makes sense. The movie is pretty graphic and controversial, primarily because of a gang rape scene early in the movie that is, it's pretty graphic. It's pretty intense. It sets the stage for the movie, but they go for this scene. And the movie is available to watch on Screenbox if you're so inclined. But like I said, do be warned, there is some intense scenes and imagery in it. And there's also some very just goofy ass shit in it. It's a weird movie. They utilize bowling balls, bowling pins, the ball waxer, all kinds of weird ass bowling alley things. So there you go. It is aptly called Gutter Balls. I will say, not one of my favorite movies, probably not a movie I'd ever watch again. But I've seen it, so can't take it back. I guess so. There you go. I guess that's a glowing recommendation for it, but it's a movie. Give them that. And there is somebody, what is it? One of the main guys in it is in an episode of Supernatural. He plays with Eve. He's the one guy coming out of the bar that she kind of rubs his cheek, and then he ends up getting sick and becoming a shapeshifter, and everybody, all of his friends turn into shapeshifters that look like him. His name's Ed something. That he's in this movie, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's him, if I'm remembering right. So, but anyway, let's move on then to our next segment.
Horror Hot Take.
And this episode, we have Horror Hot Take. This is where one of us, typically Ike, presents us with a quote-unquote horror hot take, something that he thinks is a very opinionated view on something horror-related, and we discuss it for a few minutes. So, Ike, do you have a horror hot take for this episode?
Yeah, I think I do. I think I do.
Okay. Well, I hope you do. So, otherwise, I guess this segment's going to be just a few minutes of silence.
That's right, yep.
As we reflect on the group. Grotesqueness, whatever, of Gutter Balls. So, anyway, what is your hot take? My hot take is Gutter Balls is not a very good movie, and I don't think that's a hot take. So, anyway, what is your hot take for this episode?
You know, this hot take is a little timely. Just for a little backstory, I recently watched Deadpool 2, which, no spoilers. Because I don't think Dave's seen it yet, but also the movie just came out, and I'm sure that plenty of spoilers out there.
Deadpool 2 or the Deadpool
3? Oh, Deadpool 3. Sorry, I'm bad. My bad.
No, I'm not seeing it.
Deadpool 3. It actually, having watched it, it reminded me of some of the old, you know, IPs in the Fox universe. For instance, X-Men Origins Wolverine, which famously got leaked like 24 hours before the movie got released. And they projected that like 2, 3, 4, like 5 million people or something like that had already seen the movie by the time that it had actually come out. It kind of got me thinking about sort of some of the stuff that comes up, and, you know, Dave and I, we report on and we talk about sometimes when leaks happen. I could understand to an extent, like, small tidbits of a movie being leaked, whether that be, like, potential plot points or potential returns of characters or even people just bullshitting and saying, hey, I think this is going to happen. That's fine. But it reminded me that there is sort of a deeper layer to leaks, which is when basically people just go out of their way to try and find ways to get a copy of the movie, and then they just put it on the internet. And it probably isn't a hot take. I feel like most people with common sense probably would agree with me, but I think that it is incredibly detrimental to leak a movie. Not even just the financial perspective, because to be frank, these movies are generally not hurting for money. But I think from the creative and then the fairness perspective, right? You know, not everybody wants to illegally watch the movie, right? So not everybody wants to watch the leaked version of a movie. Some people want to go to theaters, watch the movie, and actually watch it the right way. So not only do you have it to where these people are leaking the movie, you know, which is potentially providing a roadblock or barrier to other spoilers and things like that, but you also just generally speaking, it's kind of a dick move when you're just like, yeah, I'm just going to seek out this movie somehow, some way, get a copy of it, and then just blast it all over the internet. So probably not much of a hot take, but if you leak movies to the internet, you're kind of a dick.
Yeah, I agree. And we like you said, we put out spoiler warnings all over this.
Yeah,
because it's, you know, it's hard when discussing these movies to not give something, you know. So we put those out there primarily just in case and to cover, but we do it particularly with movies that are very new in the theater, we do try to be, you know, fairly spoiler free, and you know, and it's situational to an extent, right? Like with Long Legs, we really set out because there was a clear aspect of that movie to see the Nick Cage character that, right, that people hadn't seen, right? That wasn't presented in promotional material. And it was a very cool aspect to watching the movie. So we were very careful to not, you know, reveal any of that and not everything. Now, I did see people online with that movie, literally opening night, putting pictures of, out there of him in character. Yeah. And I'm like, you assholes. And I'm like, you know, I don't know. I don't see the gratitude in doing that or the gratification in doing that. Because I don't know what's the gain. There's nothing to gain for you. All you're doing is ruining an experience for someone else. You know, you got to give it some time. Now I don't, you know, there are people that bitch, you know, after whatever, 2 or 3 months are like, oh, come on, I haven't seen them. Well, it's like, yeah, that's on you at that point. And, you know, when you get to a certain level. But yeah, I mean, and you know, it is very difficult in some of these movies. To avoid seeing spoilers. And it's like, you know, you can completely avoid social media and hope, you know, that works. But it's like, it's difficult. Even if you're just casually scrolling, not seeking it out, you still sometimes come across it where people just throw it out there. And yeah, there's no other reason that these people do these things other than to just be assholes. There's no other gratification they can get from it, because it's, I don't know, or they think there's some clout with being the first one to post a picture of something. It's like, what the hell? Who cares?
Right. And that's kind of what I was going to say, is that I feel like sometimes people think it's like, it is going to get them some kind of notoriety. But like, just as a, for instance, the guy, whoever it was that leaked the X-Men Origins Wolverine like movie, I'm pretty sure he served jail time like for it. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's one thing to like, oh yeah, I heard, you know, from a potential source that, you know, so-and-so is going to be in the next Marvel movie or whatever it is, you know, that's one thing. But like, when you start actually like leaking legitimate, like parts of the movie, like, you know, full on, you know, cinema stills or, you know, actual segments of a movie that you like got from the dark web, or some dumb shit like that, it just gets a little weird. You get to that point where you're like, what did you gain by doing this? Kind of like you said, like, well, what's the point?
Yeah, and I don't remember what it was. What was it with us? It was like a year or so ago or whatever. There was something. We posted a picture on Instagram, and I thought it was an official released picture, because there were some pretty credible sites and things out there that were posting this picture. So yeah. I thought, oh, this must be, you know, something the studio has released. And I posted it, and it got taken down because whatever the studio was completely went after everything. So it was like, whatever it was pertaining to it, it's like, well, okay, there's your confirmation that whatever this is probably true. And I can't remember what it was or what movie it was.
I thought it had something to do with Scream.
Yeah, I think so as well, but I don't remember.
Was it? It had something to do with like Kirby being in the movie. It was like a screen.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah,
like a picture of that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a picture that had Kirby in it. And it looked, yeah, it looked kind of like a cash. It was kind of a cash shot. It was a, you know, it wasn't like it. I don't think it was a steal from the movie. It looked like kind of a cast, you know, a whatever you want to call it, a posed shot. And whatever the case may be, like I said, there were some big sites that had posted it and everything. So I thought, oh, they must have put this out there. They must have announced it. They must have released this, trying to get ahead of it, because everybody was talking about, you know, that, oh, I think she's going to be in it. Right. And we went ahead and posted it. And it got, like I said, it got taken down on Instagram. And I think we went ahead and just deleted it off the others, because it didn't get taken down on the other social media. So we were kind of like, oh, this must not be kosher, but it kind of obviously confirmed probably the rumor, because I think, you know, if it was a fake rumor, I don't think they would have cared.
Well, but, that's what I was gonna say, and that's sort of like like you said, like we had no reason to think that it wasn't like legit because I'm almost positive. I remember seeing like a BuzzFeed article about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, on one hand, it's like, and that's the thing too, is that like it kind of sucks, but like knowing that Kirby is in the movie, what wasn't like an end all be all like issue for the film. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? It,
Yeah.
now had it been like, oh, this person's the killer. Okay, yeah, that would have sucked ass. But like, you know, having that person in the film didn't really change, I feel like, too much. But no, it's one of those sort of integrity things that when you do come upon shit like that, like we did, we just said, okay, well, they don't want that out there, so let's remove it from social media. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, literally with that. And oh, I don't know how people will take this. Removing it from the other social media, I didn't give two shits about the studio. I wasn't caring that because, you know, my view is, yeah, you know, I don't want to give away whatever, you know, but it's not going to impact them that greatly. Us, you know, it's not like we're the, you know, the national news or something. I more took it down like, oh, they don't want this to go out there, so I don't, you know, I didn't want people to see it. Not if they didn't want to know, or if there was a bigger plot point, which it didn't turn out to be, really be. But you know, I thought maybe there's a bigger plot point to the movie pertaining to her. So you know, I you know, I didn't want other people to see it and have anything spoiled for them that they you know, because you know, I'm not you know, to me it wasn't that big of a reveal in the end. Didn't really give anything away, but I can't I don't make that judgment for the people, and what they were wanting to see or whatever, or, you know, be surprised by. So,
Right.
it's just, I don't know. It's weird nowadays because I, on the one hand, it's like, I love knowing the moment things are going to come out and knowing these developments and knowing who's being cast and knowing this and that and being on top of these things. I love that part. But there's that part of me that just misses that innocence of going to see a movie. And just having a random trailer pop up and say, holy crap, I didn't even know that movie was, you know, was even a thing. And it's like, you don't get that anymore. You know, it's even with trailers, even if you don't see them, that's like you hear about it. It's like, oh, this trailer is going to be released prior to this movie. So it's like they have to announce so much of it just to avoid some of the spoilers. And there's no way to keep all this under wraps. And it's some of that innocence of movie going is just, I think it's just lost the time.
And honestly, it kind of seems almost like, you know, it almost seems kind of boomerish in a way, because I agree. It just, I feel like a lot of people would just be like, well, the times have changed. But like, I do miss the days where, like you said, you go to a movie, you know, let's say you go see a horror movie and you just see a bunch of trailers, you know, about like things that like you have no clue are coming out, or you watch a movie on VHS and there's a trailer for a movie coming out soon, or, you
Yeah.
know. It is definitely a lost aspect of like film going and the whole experience of watching a movie.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I said, it's, you know, times have changed. The internet has created this almost, you know, unavoidable connection to the rest of the world. So it's, you know, you kind of get into that rhythm of, well, it's out there, I'm gonna see it, I might as well go ahead and get the trailer watched and everything else. But yeah, it is weird. It's such a weird dynamic that we used to have, but we no longer do.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's not a one's not right, one's not wrong.
Right.
It just is what it is. And you know, there's plenty of people out there, whole generations of people, or you know, generation of people that they don't know that, right? This is just what it is to them, and that's fine. But you know, so obvious some of it obviously stems from that nostalgic, you know, feeling you would get when you would, you know, go to a movie and a trailer would blow you away that you didn't have any idea about. And you know, and with some movies, you know, I mean, it can be recreated with seeing it online, you know, but it's just that there's the unexpected parts. It's really not available anymore. It's, you know, they've announced when the trailers are coming, and I get excited just for that, the anticipation of seeing the trailers. I still do, you know, there is still some of that feeling with that, but it's just, it's a I don't know, the whole element of surprise with lots of things is just it's just gone. And a lot of studios, they have to be proactive. You know, it's like, okay, well, if this is eventually probably going to get leaked and this is going to get out there, it's best promotionally on their part to just utilize that as a promotion technique, and not have someone else spill it and take away some of their buzz. And so it's just, you know, whatever, marketing and everything else has changed. Just like the whole dynamic. It's weird. It's not like it's all completely changed. It's just everything's, it's shifted in a weird way, and it's lost certain elements. And we've talked about this, right? Where it used to be, where you used to go to the video store and peruse the new release wall. It's like, okay, now you can go online and you can scroll through a streaming service, and it's almost the same concept, same ideal. It's just a different scenario and format. At its root, it's the same thing almost, but it's just different. And again, I hate people. You can't say one's better or worse, because it's, everything's always changing and evolving. It's always been that way. Once upon a time, you go to the theater, there's one movie to watch, maybe two. and that's just what it was. If you didn't want to watch it, you didn't watch a movie, because there wasn't a slew of movie choices. And that slowly grew. And then it's like, you know, you get home release straight to video thing. So there's that grew your options more. So, you know, it just evolves and grows as business grows. But,
well, and to kind of even add to that, it's like nowadays it's like there's 3-4 movies coming out a weekend, you know, not just horror movies. I mean, there are some weekends where there's 2 horror movies alone, not including other major, you know, motion pictures that are being released those weekends. You know what I mean?
And that's just theatrical.
That's not talking streaming or, you know, video on demand or, you know, any of that stuff. You know what I mean?
It's easy to be that old man and hem haw about what's lost, what rails. I choose to focus on, there's this and this and that, but I've got all these services that I can look through and find movies that I never would have, that never even would have got made before. Even straight to DVD, they probably wouldn't have all got made. Or you wouldn't have noticed. I try to focus on the variety and the options we have. There's so much out there, you can't ever watch it all. Which is, you know, it's a positive, because there's always more to see. So you can never completely be, you know, done. So, but to circle back around, despite all the evolution and the changes, people that intentionally try to put black marks on things and try to intentionally spoil things for people so they can have 15 seconds of fame and get a few retweets, or just to be an ass about it, that's not cool.
Exactly.
And that's not needed, and that's not benefiting anybody. And don't be that way. And just try to be cool and respectful, and just try to honor other people and what they would like to see, and what they, let them choose what their experiences are with these. And there are people that completely disengage from social media and not being online just to try to recap, you know, to try to go into it as pure as possible. There are people that will not watch trailers or teasers and stuff if they can, to try to go into it as pure as possible. So don't force something upon them and put them in a bad spot. Let them as much as they can, let them dictate their viewing path for these things, because they're entitled to that, and everybody deserves to have that. So, all right. Well, there you have it. So if you're out there sharing Deadpool versus Wolverine shit, quit being a dick and don't do it.
True.
So far, I have avoided anything and everything. And I don't know if my luck will hold out, because, you know, there's a lot out there. And
there is. And honestly, like, I just, for point of reference, like you said, I secluded myself away from social media until I got to watch it. Because I was like, I don't want to get any spoilers, like, you know, and like, the one of the bad things about Marvel movies too is that, like, literally everyone and their mother's making guesses about who's going to be in the movie. They're like, oh yeah, this really obscure character from X-Men issue 145 is definitely going to be in this movie. I 100% know it.
Yeah. And then they will spend months afterwards bitching because their cape was a different color than it was. You know, it's a, that's not the proper shade of orange. And it's like, oh, good God. I thought about that. I thought about that recently with the announcement of Robert Downey Jr. As you know, Dr. Doom. I really thought about it. I thought, you know what? Like 40 years ago or something, you would have just made that discovery while watching the movie.
Yeah.
That there would not have been, an, you know, they probably wouldn't have been announced. If it was that big a thought thing that there, you know, clearly it will have to be in some way. You would have experienced that watching the movie. And you probably would have seen at some point, whatever, the mask being pulled off or knocked off or something while watching the movie to see that it's him. And, you know, but now it's about that buzz before. And, yeah. You know, it's, again, it's just, it is what it is because you couldn't have kept that under wraps. There's no way. I mean, it would have got out there somehow. So why not put it on a stage at Comic-Con and get that media? But I mean, it's just, that's the method of marketing now. It's what they have to do. And, all right. Well, we've chatted about that for a while. So let's move on. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have news, birthdays, anniversaries, and all that stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And we're back with the news. Starting us off strong, Terra will be released on Netflix on August 1st. I believe we watched and reviewed this already, so mm-hmm. if you guys want to see our official review of this, this is in our archives. I think it got okay-ish reviews, but it would definitely have been a better movie to see on streaming than in theaters, in my opinion. So,
yeah, I think it's what we said. I think it was like, it's an okay movie, not really a theatrical thing, but it's all right. It's Netflix, it's one of those movies that's going to benefit being on Netflix. It'll probably do well there and everything else. But August 1st, that's the day of this podcast release as well. So there you go. So after you're done listening to us, go watch Tara.
August 1st also, ironically, is Kayla and I's wedding anniversary. So we can watch Tarot wedding anniversary, I guess.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. We watched it the first time. I don't think we're going to watch it again. Well. no offense, Tarot.
A little bit.
Little offense. Just a little. We'll see what happens with Tarot 2. I'm sure it's coming.
Tarot 2, the cards return.
That's right. It's time to duel. In a Violent Nature 2 is officially coming. This was confirmed by IFC Films and Shudder. No plot points or release date have been announced yet. So this is one of those special movies that not only got an official review from Dave and I, but it also had a wives rebuttal, speaking of the wives. I mean, you guys can check that out. The wives did not care for it. I liked it a lot. Dave liked it. But we definitely disagreed with the wives.
Yeah. And we actually, this is one of those deals that when it got announced, we posted on social media prior to this even, because this is one of those big ones, right? This is a big news point. We didn't want to wait on when it was the official words put out there. We went ahead and put it out there. And Monica saw it on our social media. She's like, oh, really? So I'm already sensing a future wiser battle in a Violent Nature 2 Electric Boogaloo with the wives back, because I don't know. Well, it'll be curious. I'm curious to see what they do. I'm curious if they try a new approach. What will they do? Will it be the same format kind of approach that they had the first one? It's wild to think.
But, it is. But they will. I think they'll change it up. I think it'll be a different format potentially. especially given the pushback from the first movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. I don't think they have to stray all the way from it. You know, I think it'll just be some natural growth.
Right.
But, I'll be curious to see, because regardless of anything else, what you can say what you want about it. The movie was successful. The movie got a lot of buzz. The movie definitely had some really cool creative kills in it. And regardless of anything else, they have, to me at least, established a very compelling new horror killer that they can do, plenty with. And who knows? They might go wild like they used to, and let's send him to space, or who knows what else. Never know. No, I doubt that. But what was his name? Johnny? I think it was Johnny.
Yep, sure is.
So, but I think they got a cool looking character there that they could do a lot with. You know, they haven't fully explored the backstory, so they can, there's lots they can do. Now that they've laid the foundation, they've set it up, they've got people hooked and interested. They could it's same concept like with the Terrifier movies, right? They gave us a good solid movie, got people interested, loving the character, and then they're like, okay, now we can really tell some story that we want to tell, and it worked for Terrifier, so. Let's see what happens with old Johnny.
Yeah, good old Johnny. Johnny be good. All right. Moving on. This is actually mentioned briefly, I think, last episode, because I saw it on somewhere, and it was mentioned, but it does look like a third movie in the Collector franchise will be coming. It will be titled The Collected, and is finally moving forward and is set to enter development. I'm a huge fan of the Collector franchise. I believe it's the Collector, the Collection, and then now the Collected. I need to get Kayla to watch these. I think she'd like them, but because they have a Saw vibe to them.
Yeah, I like them too. And the first one recently had on anniversary. We put it up on social media and stuff. But I think we did talk about this recently. There's a lot of talk, a lot of buzz, whatever else. But it's officially pretty much come out. Yeah, confirmed. It's happening. They're starting to cast, starting to move forward in pre-production, and so no timeline yet, but it is definitely, the ball is rolling on this one.
Yes, absolutely is. And I will also mention that the Collected has been in developmental hell for God knows how long. Oh, so
yeah.
So it's good to see it finally come out. I think that with the resurgence of like the horror genre, because there was a little bit of a dip there for a good 5 years or so, right after the first two movies came out, I feel like. So I feel like we're just now, even though we're kind of far past that dip that there was around like the 2015 area, I feel like even though we're kind of past that, I feel like there's like still not a whole lot of confidence from like all areas of production, especially like in Hollywood. So that's why we see a lot of the a lot of Shudder movies and a lot of a lot of Screambox stuff, because they're a little more pointed in their endeavors. They specifically do horror, whereas a lot of these production studios don't want to take it on. But I feel like people are starting to come around on it, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, here we're getting the Collected. We found out not too long ago that we're getting a Creep 3, so it's like, yeah, they're starting to, some of these ones that we've been sitting there saying, come on, give us another, give us another, give us another. And some of these movies like this, The Collector, the Creep movies, we've said it many times. Other people say it. It's like, why are people sleeping on these movies? These were really, really good movies. You know, we should be getting another. People need to know more about this. And here we are finally. And it's I'm excited because for both of them, because I like both these franchises and can't wait to see the next installments.
Yeah, absolutely. And then last but not least in our news, A Quiet Place Day One is now available video on demand. Of course, Dave and I have reviewed this movie already. This is in our archive, so go check it out.
So good.
It's very good. Honestly, it's one of the best, if not the best in the series.
My favorite in the series.
And, honestly, same.
And I pumped it so hard and whatever else that, Monica, we it came out, it actually came out today as we're recording. And we bought it video on demand at the first release full price, because I told Monica she just had to watch it. So it's purchased. She's actually, as we're recording, and they're watching it right now. So there you go.
That's awesome. I also have to rewatch it this weekend, possibly. But yeah, we'll see.
So loved it. She's like, now here's the thing. She says, I can't watch this movie if the cat dies. And I said, nope, the cat doesn't die. She goes, okay, I'm good. So, there you go.
That's Kayla said. She's like, if the cat dies, she's like, someone's getting hurt.
So I said, like, oh, I told her, I said, nope, the cat doesn't die. I said, the cat's the MVP of the movie, though.
True. Cat...
best actor in the movie.
No, absolutely, that is absolutely accurate. Joseph Quinn, no can do.
Nope, taking a back seat. He was supporting the cat.
That's right. Oh man, I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy from that was in Guardians. Nope, doesn't hold up.
Yeah,
does not hold up. Lupita Nyong'o, no way, Jose, the cat.
Love the cat. I can't even remember the cat's name at this juncture. What was? Don't remember it now. I don't remember what she called the cat. Anyway, not important.
The cat. It was a Lord of the Rings character, wasn't it? Was it Frodo or Bilbo? It was Frodo.
Frodo. Yeah, I think that might be it. Yeah.
Yep, it was Frodo. I just looked it up on IMDb real quick. Yeah, it is Frodo, same. And it was played by Schnitzel and Nico.
Schnitzel?
That's the cat's name.
That's a great cat's name.
I know, right? Oh, man. The cat was adorable. I love Schnitzel.
There you go.
Hopefully he shows up at a convention soon. I'll go see him. I'll pay money to see a cat.
Yeah. I want that photo up.
That's right. All right. Well, moving on to upcoming birthdays. August 2nd, 1939, the legend himself, Wes Craven. Last House on the Left, of course, is one of his films. Hills Have Eyes, and of course, A Nightmare on Elm Street and Scream. As well as many, many more. There's been so many movies that he could be attributed to. And truly, Wes Craven is one of the great masters of the art, you know, inspiration to modern filmmakers in a lot of ways.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a legend. What else can you say? He's awesome.
Yeah, and if you look, I mean, like, just those movies we listed, look how cutting edge they were at their times. I mean, you know, Last House on the Left and Hills Have Eyes, they were pretty cutting edge at those times. Into the 80s, A Nightmare on Elm Street, pretty cutting edge. Scream in the 90s, you're very cutting edge and established. These movies helped establish the genre for those decades. And he was there. He was the guy doing it. So,
yeah,
never rested on his laurels. Always kept evolving, growing, and it's wild. It's again. I mean, how many people can say they spawned two franchises like that? Good grief!
Yeah, no, it's very true. Not very many people can say that they created an iconic franchise, much less, like you said, two very iconic, and one of which is probably one of the most famous meta horror films of all time. So,
I mean, two of the most iconic horror characters, most merchandised horror characters of all time. I mean, it's like everybody knows Freddy. Pretty much everybody knows Ghostface. I mean, that's just remarkable.
It very much is. And also, may he rest in peace. You know, we lost Wes Craven about almost 10 years ago, 9 years ago, 2015, I believe. Crazy. Moving on, though. August 2nd, 1953, Butch Patrick, known as Eddie Munster from the original Munsters. I feel like there was another... I feel like Butch Patrick came up recently in a conversation we had in the last couple episodes, or somebody from the Munsters. It may have not have been him.
We talked about Daniel Roebuck.
Yeah, Daniel Roebuck, maybe.
Yeah, when we did the interview with... Which movie was it? It was one of the interviews we remember. They, it was the, what was the one with Sierra and,
Hunting for the Hag?
Yeah, Hunting for the Hag. Remember, he was the detective guy, and that's
right.
We talked about him, and then, I think he came up maybe in, I think he had a birthday kind of recently or something that we talked about him again.
I gotcha.
Maybe.
There you go. There you have it. Obviously, I've seen the original Munsters briefly. I've not sat down and, like, watched all of it by any means, but yeah, you know, he's great. He's great in that movie.
TV show?
Yeah, TV show, my bad. Movie, TV show. There was a movie. Not with... he was in the movie, wasn't he? Butch Patrick was in the movie with...
Yeah, he had a cameo as some that robot thing or whatever.
Yeah. He was in
the Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
He had a cameo in it.
See, I'm not too crazy. There was a movie. All right. Moving on. August 3rd, 1950, director John Landis, known for his work on American Werewolf in London, also known for his work on the Blues Brothers. It's another good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's done several things, but horror-wise, I mean, American Werewolf in London is, oh, so good. And it's just a great movie.
Absolutely. I'll say I remember very recently, probably in the last like 6 months or so, watched that movie for the first time. And I remember we talked about it, but it's very good. I very much enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
Good stuff. And then August 5th, 1936. Wow. John Saxon. He's known for his role as the sheriff and the father of the main character in Nightmare on Elm Street. And he was also in Black Christmas, who I don't know who he played in that movie, though.
Actually, I think he played a detective in that, too. I think he played a detective or a police officer in that, too. If I'm remembering right, it's the original Black Christmas from like 76 or whatever.
Yeah.
But I can't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure he was the detective guy that they kept trying to call for help and everything else. So. But he's been in lots of other things as well. But yeah, that's horror wise what he's probably most known for. Probably most known for playing, like you said, in the Nightmares and play the first, what he's in one, comes back in a New Nightmare.
Ooh. Yeah, three.
He's the ones with Nancy because he's her dad. So he's in those. So
gotcha. And just for reference, he played Lieutenant Ken Fuller in Black Christmas.
Well, see, I was right. He played an officer. So
talk about being typecast.
Yeah, he had that authoritative look.
He did. Very good. Well, happy birthday to John. And sharing a birthday with John Saxon, also on August 5th, we won't say his birthday, you know, we don't no, just kidding. It was sometime in the 1700s. He was there when the Declaration of Independence was written, so at least 1750s. Dave was born August 5th, 1775. I mean, come on, right before the American Revolution.
Older than America.
Yep. That's right. I can. But happy birthday. Are you doing anything fun for your birthday?
Don't know. I think we're gonna go see some movies. We talked about going to some bookstores and just having one of those kind of days where we run around to our favorite little places to go. And I'm not much of a go-getter. I kind of like mellow stuff, but might go do some toy hunting, things like that. Just things I like to do. I'm sure we'll eat.
Gotta go see Deadpool.
Yeah, I believe that's the plan. We're gonna go. I think we're gonna do a double feature and see our review movie and Deadpool back to back.
There you go. Okay. Well, and I have to ask, what are you gonna eat? Because I love food.
I'm not sure yet. They've Monica tried to corner me into that earlier. Said, you know, I need to know. I think we're probably going out for lunch, and then typically we go out for lunch, and she makes me a dinner, whatever I want. So she literally said that earlier. She's like, I'm going to be ordering groceries. I need to know what you want for your dinner, and I'm like, oh, okay. So I don't even know yet.
Well, I was going to say, because I know that you like sushi. Because I know we talked about that before. And I know you guys, there's like a good sushi place that you guys go to that does like the all-you-can-eat sushi.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, so I don't know. My problem is like with the dinner which she makes, she makes me whatever I want anyway, all the time. Like literally, it's like, I'll be like, I'm craving this. She's like, okay, I'll put that on the menu. So it's like, it's not like there's something that I really like that I don't get pretty much anytime I ask for it. So it's like, I kind of have to say, okay, what am I really in the mood for now? Or what have I not had for a little bit? I don't know. But
I feel that.
I don't know. I'm not sure eating it for lunch. I have no idea. Don't know where I want to go yet. We have a pretty good oyster bar seafood place here that I like a lot. We might go there. I don't know yet. I'm not that. I know it's like whatever, just a few days away, but I've still not thought that far yet. But
I don't blame you. I say if I can help it, I don't think too far ahead.
it kind of snuck up on me
Because I was literally like working today on a work call. Someone mentioned it. Tomorrow's August 1st. I was like, what? No. And I was like, holy crap. It is. Tomorrow's August 1st. I'm like, for some reason I kept feeling like, I don't know. I think for a month it's been a week away for me. It's like, I keep thinking, oh, it's a week away. It's like, nope, it's here. So.
Yep. Well, the day that this comes out is August. August tomorrow for us.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's all right. One day closer to spooky season.
That's right. We're almost to the fall time. I mean, after August, we're in the home stretch. It's really September, and then October is the month.
We always keep it a little spooky here on the show and everything else, and it's always a little spooky here in the house. I'm always, you know, I mean, I have a Sam from Trick or Treat light up thing on my desk. It just stays there year round, and I have all my horror figures over there and all this and that, and my signs on the wall and everything else. But I like when it's spooky out there too, and I can. You know, and you got that vibe, and yeah, you know, it's in stores, and people are decorating, and I tell everybody, I'm a fourth quarter guy. From September through December is my favorite part of the year, or whatever October through whatever the fourth quarter is.
No, I got you. I think the last quarter would be October, November, December.
I think I'm more the last third, guys, because I typically stretch it to September 1st. I typically decorate on September 1st for Halloween. So there I think it's just, I know we're way sidetracked here, but I feel like this is all stuff that people would be interested in. I think this year we're actually going to do a Halloween tree. At least I'd like to.
Hey, that's actually very much on brand for the show. So
it is. I want to get a black tree with already pre-lit with orange lights. And then I want to, obviously get some decorations up, and I gotta nail the tree topper. So I'm not sure what I want to do yet. I'm feeling a little Art the Clownish probably at the top, but who knows? I'll figure it out. And we already have some spooky decorations that we put out on the Christmas tree. So I'll just pull those in, and we got plenty of decorations on the Christmas tree. So I'll just pull all those off for the Halloween tree.
But, there you go.
We decorate, we put all that stuff up and I'm very much feeling I'm thinking this is the year we're going to pull a trigger and do a Halloween tree.
You know, it might be hard to obtain, but a real decapitated human head might be a good tree topper.
A real one?
Yeah, a real one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it might be hard to find.
Well, unless you have to make your own, and then there. Yeah. I don't know if I'll be there to finish up decorating the tree.
true. I can't. Don't do that. that's the last thing we need is that we'd be like, see on the news, local podcaster Dave Dynasty is in jail.
Said, yeah, yelling, I forewarned you not to ruin Deadpool.
Right. Oh, Lord. But anywho, moving on from that. Keep an eye, guys, on social media for that upcoming news release. If they interview me, I promise to do my best long legs impression while they talk to me.
I feel like if that happens, that'll make a hell of a wise rebuttal.
It certainly would. I'd have to find a new person to do the podcast with. Or maybe you can do it from jail. I don't know.
Boy, that would... Yeah, okay. I'm a little uncomfortable with this whole discussion now, so let's move on.
I can. All right. Moving on. August 6th, 1970. The man himself, M. Night Shyamalan. I'm kidding, it's Shyamalan. It might be a good time to mention that we might be reviewing a movie of his next week.
Maybe.
Feeling so. Feeling so. It's like the Magic 8-Ball. What is it? It says it is likely.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of likely, yeah.
But yeah, obviously, M. Night Shyamalan. We love him. We've reviewed movies of his before. I'm pretty sure. I can't remember which one it was, but
Knock at the Cabin Door. His.
It sure would. It sure would. Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah. And then the one. What was the one we just recently did? That was his daughters.
It was The Watchers.
The Watchers. Yeah, I would say that was very recently. So.
Yeah, that was real good. So. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see what he's got with Trap. So
Trap, yep.
But we'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Last birthday for you fine folks, and this is a good one. August 7th, 1942, Tobin Bell, known for his role as Jigsaw in the Saw franchise, as well as many, many, many other things. But yeah, I love Tobin Bell. Tobin Bell's fantastic. His role as John Kramer is beyond iconic. You know, I always say anytime we talk about Saw, the first Saw movie has probably one of the best endings to a movie that the first time I watched it, I was just absolutely blown away. You know, obviously spoilers, movie came out like 22 years ago, but, you know, when John Kramer gets up off the bathroom floor, you know, and after you thought he was just a dead body and then game over, shuts the door. Oh, iconic.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously his involvement in Albany revitalized here recently with the most recent Saw movie and everything. So yeah, Tobin's pretty cool.
Very cool. I'd like to see him at a convention sometime. I don't know if he does. He does the conventions, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I would think he does some.
He's gotta. All right. Moving on to some upcoming movie anniversaries. We have an one for August 1st, 1986. Friday the 13th, part 6. Sorry, I had to remember my Roman numerals. Jason Lives. Is this the one with the psychic? Is that the right one?
The psychic?
Yeah, the psychic.
That brings him back? Yes. No. This is the one with the older Tommy and driving the metal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The lightning rod type thing into him. Where he's trying to finish him off, but he comes back and then, you know, tries to warn the town and gets arrested. And all kinds of fun stuff ensues.
Rookie mistake. Never warn the town. Just hit the road, Jack.
Yeah, just it's best. just never tell.
Hit the bricks.
Maybe leave a note and just take off, so you can say your conscience is clear that. Well, I tried to tell him, but I didn't want to take full accountability for what was going to happen.
Right. So just like a little note that says "oopsie whoopsie" and leave.
Although, with all due respect, I think it was right. He got held accountable. He did resurrect him.
He did. He did.
It's kind of on him, Tommy. On you, Tommy.
He didn't stop him until he murdered, like, I don't know, 45 people. But, you know, he did try.
Yeah. So, Tommy's life's not complete, I don't guess, without Jason.
Right. For real. Anywho, moving on. August 5th, 1998, Halloween H2O. I now understand why Dave likes this movie so much.
My mind is blown by this fact.
Right. I did not know this was on your birthday.
I had no idea. And I have been, how long have I been saying this is such an underappreciated movie, such a good movie, that so undiscussed in the Halloween franchise? And that's just synergy right there. I'll tell you what.
It really is. It really is. I was going to say, it all fits together. It all fits together perfectly.
Yep.
The stars have aligned. Mercury is in retrograde.
I wonder what other movies were released on my birthday. I mean, even non-horror. We'll have to see I'll have to do a deep dive of that, see if it worked out in any other way.
I'm pretty sure the only movie that was like released on my birthday is like the movie Short Circuit. You remember that movie about the robot?
Yeah, I like that movie.
I do like that movie. That's the only one I can remember that was like released on my movie off the top of my head. But my birthday is kind of weird because I feel like it never falls on a Friday. So
yeah, that's impossible.
It's like once every like, I think, 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Something like that. I don't know. I was actually having this conversation with a coworker of mine. I was talking about how this year my birthday is on, I think, a Thursday or something like that. And then I think next year my birthday is on a Friday, I think. But
here we go, right? September 16th, correct?
It's a Monday this year.
Well, here we go. No, here's movies released on September 16th. This is probably not all of them. I'm trying to see. Oh, well, Pearl was released on September 16th.
Really?
Uh-huh. Boy, there's just not a lot else here. So some movies, but some of these I don't even know what they are.
you're like, what the hell is this?
I don't know. Three from Hell.
Oh, yikes.
Oh, that Time Cop, a little John Cop Van Damme there.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, wow, there's, I'm not sure what some of these movies are. And, oh, there you go. That's pretty much it. It's a movie called Wild Oats. I don't know what that is. But,
well, Pearl, I got Pearl. I can deal with that.
You share a birthday with Nick Jonas.
I did know that, actually. I did know that.
See, let's see. Let's look. We're just all over the place today, but people tend to enjoy that shit, I guess. Let's see. Bear with us, folks. Let's see what other movies released August 5th. Non-horror movie. Oh, the Little Rascals movie from 1994. That's a quirky little movie. Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah.
Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And then, let's see. There's a movie. Prey. Wow, there's some movies I missed to put on our list here. Then there's Halloween H2, of course. The original, the first Dukes of Hazzard movies. Ooh, Risky Business. That's a pretty good movie. some movies. I don't know what they are. That's it. Let's see if I share a birthday with anybody. Ooh, Neil Armstrong.
That's a good one.
This thing that I look at birthdays, there's so many like YouTube stars, TikTok stars, and I'm like, I don't. It's like, who are these people? And some of them, you know, they use their like their tags, and I'm like, that's a weird name. James Gunn. I share a birthday with James Gunn. And oh, what happened? Things jumped. Yeah, that's about it. That's it.
Well, there you go. Well,
there you go. So not too many other synergy type movies for me that really just make 100% sense, but that's okay.
I do really enjoy Pearl, especially after that rewatch of it. I was like, oh, that was really good. I really liked that. So yeah. That kind of makes sense. That's a little bit of a synergy for me.
Sure.
But there you go. Well, all right.
I'm going to just forever say that you share your birthday with the movie Wild Oats.
There you go.
I don't even know what Wild Oats is, but I just like saying Wild Oats.
Also, I'm going to have to look it up. It looks like it was a TV series with Paul Rudd. Is it a movie?
There's a movie with Shirley MacLaine and Jessica Lange. Demi Moore.
The heck? Mm-hmm. Weird little cast there.
Uh-huh. It came out in 2016, so it's not even that old.
There you go.
I'm guessing by the name, it's older women doing some things. Says everything changes for Eva when she receives a life insurance check accidentally made out for $5 million instead of the expected $50,000. She and her best friend take the money and head out for an adventure of a lifetime.
That's so weird. Yeah, I've never seen the movie Wild Oats, but I share a birthday with it. It's on Stars.
Check that out. Doesn't really sound like a watcher for me, but okay.
Yeah, no, it's not my typical watch list kind of
movie. No. Unless they're taking that $5 million and going out and beheading people and doing some wacky ass bloody things, it's just not probably going to be up there for me.
Probably not. I think I'll have to pass on it, but maybe next time. Maybe next time, Wild Oats.
Try again, Shirley MacLaine.
Try again. But all right, moving on. Another movie that came out on your birthday just a few years later, August 5th, 2022. They Them. We watched this, recorded and reviewed, and you know, I feel like we gave it generally good reviews if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Kevin Bacon's in it, and it was a pretty good kind of modern horror. wasn't the greatest, but it was solid.
Yeah, good old modern horror. Gotta love some Kevin Bacon. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we are down to the final stretch of upcoming releases. Starting here with Bagman, set to release in theaters September 20th. A poster recently released and a trailer is coming soon. It is described as when a sinister threat from his childhood returns to haunt him, a father desperately struggles against his deepest inner fear. This sounds like a movie... I think I'm thinking of Baghead, which was that movie mm-hmm, we reviewed mm-hmm. that was on streaming.
Yeah. This is kind of a generic sounding description. So,
it does.
the poster looks pretty creepy. The character, the little bag man guy, looks pretty creepy. So I'm curious to see the trailer. But yeah, it's interesting. I'd give it a watch.
Well, I will definitely give it a watch because it has Sam Claflin, who is looks like the main character. He plays Finnick O'Dare in the Hunger Games franchise.
Oh, there you go.
I like Hunger Games. I like his character, so I will definitely give it a watch.
Oh,
yeah. There you go. But, all right, moving on. The Mousetrap, an incarnation of the Mickey Mouse short Steamboat Willie, is going to release on video on demand August 6th and a physical release August 13th. There is a trailer available now. So it's one of those public domain horror films. Very excited to check it out. I'm pretty sure I watched a trailer for this already, the Mousetrap, I think.
But here's the thing. I don't know, because there has been so many of these Steamboat Willie Mickey Mouse horror movies announced. And there was one supposedly like they had already done it, just waiting for that public domain date to pass. But yet, it's like, I don't think any of them have been released yet. So I don't know what the heck's going on with these. It's so wild, because it's like this, it went public domain and all you heard is about like five of these movies coming out. And here we are still waiting for them. Like one of them, David Howard Thornton, is supposed to be playing Mickey, I think. And it's I don't think it's this one. So it's like, I don't know. There's like the Mousetrap and I don't even know what the others are called. And so I'm like, I'm very confused by all these Mickey Mouse Steamboat Willie horror movies. But whatever. I'll probably watch them all.
Fair. I will also be watching them all. But all right. Last but not least, M. Night Shyamalan's next movie, Trap, is coming to theaters on August 2nd. It is described as a father and his teen daughter attend a pop concert only to realize they've entered the center of a dark and sinister event. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. This movie had some pretty great trailers. The more recent trailers give a little bit of detail to what's going on. But the first few trailers, they were very vague and ominous. And they're like, if you know, like, you're like, no clue what's going on. But
they give indication of what they want you to think is going on in these movies.
Exactly.
With M. Night, it is hard telling. As we've seen with Knock on the Cabin Door, he's getting back to a little bit of the twist stuff a little, right? He's easing back to it. Because I think he kind of was known for that so long that he kind of got away from it a little bit. Or felt like, you know, it was getting predictable. So I'll be curious to see with this one if it's got some big plot turn or what, you know, what have you. And I'm pretty sure this has got Josh Hartnett in it, yeah. Right? And I like Josh Hartnett, of course. He's in Halloween H2O, which, again, I'm taking every opportunity I can to mention that movie. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Should be good. And we'll see what happens. See what kind of twist there is.
That's right. Tune in next week and we'll tell you what we thought.
That's right. All right. Well, that pretty much knocks us out of the park for today. We are pretty much done with all the news, upcoming birthdays, releases, and whatnot. Make sure you follow us on social media. That way you can keep up with us when any of this stuff comes up and about, and we'll let you guys know as soon as we hear about it. But for now, when we come back, we will have our official review of Humane. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrasslepod. That is linktr.ee/rasslepod. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
Okay, and we're back. Review time. We are talking about Humane today. Movie was released in a limited theater run on April 26th and then on Shudder on July 26th. The movie is written by Michael Sparja, directed by Caitlin Cronenberg, starring Jay Baruchel, Emily Hampshire, Peter Gallagher, and more. This movie, again, there's not a lot to spoil, really. I mean, there is, but there isn't. We won't spoil what happens in it. But I absolutely
to start, I absolutely love the concept of the movie where, you know, there's this future where, you know, things have happened and there's an overpopulation issue with whatever you want to, however you want to put it, right? There's, what am I trying to say here? A resource, more of a resource issue and different things. And I like a lot of the little things they do that work on some of this, like with the umbrellas, right? Everybody using the umbrellas to avoid the sun, blacking out their windows, just different things like that. But as part of this issue, the government has started paying people to partake in a euthanasia program. And where, you know, they can sign up to, as they, well, I think what they say, sign up to serve.
Enlist.
Enlist. Yeah. They mention it early, like it's a, you know, like it's a military type thing, right? Like you're doing something, you know, but before they kind of, you know, let you know what's happening. And then there's a whatever, a whole department of people and a crew that will show up to do the deed and take the body. Now, there's obviously much more afoot with this whole thing and everything that's involved in this. This focuses on this one family, a very prominent, well-to-do family. The guy was for a long time a TV anchor man. His wife, I think, was a prominent chef and everything. They're a kind of a blended type family, very well off, especially during this, what's happening in the movie. And these are not your typical people that, enlist, right? Typically the well-to-do people don't, that it's more of the enlisting is for people that need the money. And, it's you know, kind of benefits more the well-to-do. But anyway, just to say, it's not, the whole movie's not just cut and dry. There's a much more afoot, much more going on with the movie. I can't remember which the guy's name. I off the top of my head that plays the guy that's the head of the euthanasia crew. He was the dad in Veronica Mars. And I love him.
Enrico Colantoni, I think it was.
Yeah, I love him, and he was so good in this movie. He just approached it so well. He had some humor in it, but it was this very, like, this matter of fact dry humor that worked so well in this movie, and given the situation, and it, I just liked it. The movie had a really good cast, and it was a clever movie. Nothing really super surprising. Overall, you kind of, it's like you could almost kind of predict within reason what was going to happen with the movie, right? As you watched it, that didn't make it boring in any way, because you didn't quite know how they would get there, per se. But it was a fun movie. It kind of had a humorous little after, almost, what do you want to call it? Like an after moment at the end of the movie, right at the beginning of the credits. That was kind of funny. But it was a fun movie. Very clever. I think this is a movie I would definitely watch again at some point, that I could see myself sitting down and watching, because it was very entertaining. It didn't have, you know, a whole lot of what you would call horror. Not even a whole lot of really suspense, per se. There was some tension emotionally in the movie, but, it's... I think it's a little loose to say this is horror, because it didn't even really have a lot of tension or per se, you know, whatever in it. But it was it was some suspense to it, a little, you know, and everything. But it was still a fun movie, and I very much enjoyed watching it. And again, it was very well shot, very believably shot, very well acted, and it was a very quick fun watch for me. So, Ike, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with everything you said. Before I get too far into my thing, I do want to mention something. I was looking at the IMDb earlier. Well, first of all, the director is Caitlin Cronenberg, who is the daughter of David Cronenberg.
Yeah, right.
And David Cronenberg actually does the voice of the commercials in the movie.
Really? See, I wasn't aware of that. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Not only that, but the newscaster in this movie was Lisa Barry, who plays Billy in Supernatural.
Yeah, I know who Lisa Barry is. I didn't even notice that.
I didn't either. I didn't pick up on it until I saw it in the IMDb.
I must have not even really paid that close attention to her. I don't know. It was weird. I didn't even pay attention. Didn't even notice that. Okay. That's very cool.
Right. That's what I said. But yeah, so I just want to mention those two things. But, you know, kind of like Dave said, there was a lot of really great people in this movie. Jay Baruchel, Emily Hampshire, Petey Gallagher, Enrico Colantoni. All of them, as well as everybody else in the film, obviously did fantastic. Very well acted. I feel like they had some diverse actors. Like these actors, you know, for instance, Jay Baruchel is, I would say, traditionally a comedic actor. Mm-hmm. But this movie, in my opinion, really shows his range.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he did so good as like a conniving, sort of almost evil character to some degree. And but also he shows that more human aspect of like acknowledging the wrongs and you know what was going on. So but you know, I think the big thing is that the concept of this movie doesn't seem like one of the things that makes movies scary sometimes is the fact that like a concept is not like too outlandish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like that's why a lot of people like the Purge movies, because while it doesn't seem like it's going to happen tomorrow, if you sat down for long enough and sort of looked at the trajectory of the world, if someone in like 10 years was like, you know, as a way to try and like make things better, we're just going to bring back the gladiatorium or like the gladiators in the Colosseum. We're just going to start throwing people in there to kill each other. Like it wouldn't surprise me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's funny that you bring it up because I actually thought that too. I thought all everything you just said, because I also very much thought this has kind of a, in a sense, a Purge vibe to it, right? With the but it's like, I literally thought while watching this movie, it's like, it's funny, if this movie had been made in like 1984, it would have seemed so out there of like, yeah, oh, what the, you know, this is crazy. And here we are in 2024, and you watch it, and you're like, ooh, you know what? I could see this happening. I at some point in time, this doesn't seem so far fetched. And, it's weird.
That's what I was going to say. It's strange because I think they call it the Athens Accord, where each country has to like, basically, they don't have to kill. They're not killing people. But like, well, I take that back a little bit because they actually mentioned in the movie that Russia already met their quota like months ahead of schedule. Yeah. So we already know they were killing people. But no offense to the Russians out there. I just think that historically, given what happened during World War II, I'm not super confident about the outcome of that. But in real seriousness, though, like if someone tomorrow was like, you know, it wouldn't be tomorrow, but there will come a point, and this is a real thing. This is not a conspiracy theory. There will come a point where the Earth does become overpopulated, right? It probably won't happen for generations. Dave and I will be long gone. We will be erased from existence by this time. Nobody will remember us. Maybe our families. But
these podcasts will live on forever.
That's right. We'll be on the internet forever, assuming that the internet lasts forever and that they don't bring out like the Internet 2 or something.
I'm sure at some point, I mean, we're going to be enshrined in the Library of Congress.
Oh, absolutely. Positively. But, you know, at some point, like the Earth's population will reach critical masses where it basically, you know, we're already impacting the environment. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get in a soapbox about global warming and everything else. But like 90% of what's happening in the movie has already happened. It's just that we're not quite past the point of no return, quite like they are in this movie. And yeah, I mean, I not that I think that the world government would do something like the Athens Accord, but I'm not saying that they wouldn't. So yeah, it's very interesting because it makes you think. It gets the brain stewing and you start thinking like, oh, wow, this is more than just an ecological thriller. This is a political thriller now, too. Yeah. But yeah, I loved it. It was very good. It was very entertaining. It was one of those movies, that, like I said, it really got me thinking. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. It's interesting. And then I thought to myself, you know, like if I were put in that situation, would I enlist so that way, like, because they were talking about like mandatory enlistment where they would basically draft people to be killed. And how, like, if somebody, like, stepped up from the family, it would prevent, like, the rest of the family from dying. I'm like, God, man, that is rough. Like, that is rough. Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, there's some scenarios that's, it'd be weird to, you know, it's easy to say, oh, I'd do it, I'd step up, but, you know, and you might think, a person might think that and feel noble, but it's a whole different range of emotions when you're in that moment. And, yeah. You know, and like I said, this is a very enjoyable movie. It's very fun. I mean, not fun, but you know, I use fun as a, not saying the concept of the movie is, you know, delightful. Let's put it on, break it down, put it on PBS or children's television, but it's a fun watch. You know, it zooms by, right? It's not one of those movies that drags at any point. It keeps moving. The dynamic of the family is very, very good. You really kind of get invested in them. You really very quickly understand their backstory without them really. They don't give you a whole lot of specifics. I realized that afterwards, looking back on it, trying to, you know, thinking through some of my thoughts. It's like you really understand a lot about this family and how they got to where they were without them really giving you a lot of detail and telling a lot of stories. They gave you enough, and there was well done enough with their interactions that you got it and you understood it. And I did wonder as the movie started and things were going on, and I kind of started seeing where it was going, you know, what was happening, how things were going. I thought, well, now how's this family? How are they getting in this predicament? I was like, there was a very simple little happening in the movie. It was a very simple solution that kind of was set up by a point of the movie that was really you didn't give too much thought of, right? Because I, again, if I say too much, it'll give away some of the movie. But you know, something happens to a character. A character does something in this movie kind of in response to a social scenario that they mention in the movie, but you don't really focus on because you don't think it's applicable to the main plot point of the movie. But I like when movies do that, right? When they drop something in there that you almost kind of blow off because you think, but it actually becomes more critical than it is. And, but it was really just a very simple of how this situation that this group of children, kids in this family get into. It's a pretty simple, non-complicated way that made perfect sense. And there's obviously more layers to it as the movie goes on, some more layers that worked. But they, you know, the good thing is they didn't try to overcomplicate this concept. By putting, you know, making it so convoluted that it just, you know, detracted from what they were doing. They very much understood that the scenario presented was heavy enough that they didn't have to put a lot of extra baggage in there to make it kind of impactful. And I thought it was well done. I thought it was clever in the simplicity of how they got their points across. That it worked perfectly, made perfect sense without being so wild that it was just completely unbelievable and ridiculous. And yes, there's just something very creepy with a movie like this, a movie like the Purge movies, where you have these scenarios that when you think them through, they're just kind of scary to think about. But in those times, in those moments within the movies, they're just accepted parts of society. You know, that's just, it is what it is. And that's so creepy to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like when you watch the original Purge movie and everybody's like, oh, it's Purge night. What are you planning to do? And blah, blah, blah. And it's like, are you staying in or are you going out? And it's like, it's just so matter of fact. Like, it's, you know, it's like, oh, it's Friday night. Are you going to eat dinner at home or go out and eat? And it's just a part. It's a part of society. And it is what it is. And it's very creepy. But if you take the time to really dig in and look back over society and its evolution, there's instances of this, you know, I'm not saying something this in your face,
right?
But there's things that or just accepted parts of, and I'm not, this is not, I hope narrow-minded people don't take this to think anything like that, because that's not what I mean. There's just, you know, weird things in society that you become commonplace and you become numb to them, and it's just like, they should be more important, and they're just like, well, it's just not anymore. It's just, you know, it's weird to think of, and it's creepy how things like that, how, you know, so much sensationalism goes on that you can become numb to things. And
I think to kind of add to what you're saying, it part of what made this movie sort of eerie was, like you kind of said, was that everyone was just cool with, like, not cool with it, but it was just part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, conscription and enlisting and getting, like, killing yourself in this movie was normal, right? It was almost seen as, like, it was seen as the same as enlisting in the military or enlisting, you know, it was like a civic duty, you know?
Yeah, what I mean? It was like, yeah, like you're giving blood or something. You're doing, it's like you're doing a public service to help, you know, mankind. And while, yes, I mean, it is what you're doing, that because of that, it's like, it loses the depth of what is they're truly doing. It's like, yeah, you're not wrong. What they're doing is very selfless, and it is for the greater good, quote unquote, and helping the overall picture. But when you look at the overall picture and you zoom out too far, yeah, you lose that one pixel that this person's giving up their life. And it's weird to think of that. And you know, and that there are examples of things like that happening, you know. I mean, positions and situations and that people do this, you know, have done made sacrifices. And sometimes the bigger impact is lost, and the praise of the moment, you know. And it's hard to, I'm not trying to undermine people who do heroic things. That's not what I mean. They're still heroic. But oftentimes when you think of the heroic, you think of the positives and what they did and how it saved someone or did whatever else, that you almost forget about that person who did that and how that impacted their family.
Right.
And it's like, while they can understand, yes, they did this in a heroic way, we still have a loved one that's no longer with us because of this. And it doesn't make that less painful. And so it's, I know I'm rambling and talking about, but it's this weird, complexity to it that this movie really stirred up in me to think of. And you know, and the freaking marketing in it, how they've angled it and marketed it to say, oh, you're doing this great civic duty. We won't mention or point out the fact that, hey, yeah, what you're doing is giving up your life.
It's right.
Just, let's focus on, hey, this is, you know, what you're doing great. And, hey, we're going to give your family money and for what you did. You're going to get paid for your services. But, yeah, sorry, you won't be here to enjoy any of that money for what you did.
Well, and like during the beginning of the movie and stuff, they, when they're kind of like painting the exposition, there are even like advertisements about this. Yeah. The company was called Docs, I think, DOCS. I can't remember what it stands for, but it was like, this week's Docs conscription members of the week are Jack and Jill, who, you know, and I'm like, but see, like that would actually happen. Like,
yeah.
They would commercialize it. They would make it seem like this sort of like mundane thing, just so that way it like detracts from the horror of it all, which is, I guess, kind of the point. And you kind of even said it earlier, is that we kind of already do that as is, you know what I mean? You see all this like really just messed up stuff, like on TV, you know what I mean? The news and everything else.
Yeah.
And we are just kind of desensitized to it. And the people on the news, they just kind of like say it with a straight face, and they're like, yeah, this is just how things are, you know what I mean? And yeah, it's weird, but like there are a lot of parallels that you could draw between what happened in this movie and also what happens in real life.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, you know,
heroic tasks have this weird duality.
Right.
Because it's like, you know, after when it happens at after time, and when we read the blurb or hear the blurb, and we're like, oh, what a wonderful thing that person did. How wonderful is that? And that they, you know, that they did this and helped this other person or saved this other person. And oh, that's a hero and everything. And none of that's untrue. It's all, you know, in these, lots of these situations, it can be true. And I'm looking at the positive scenarios here, but then it's like, you could take a breath and say, yeah, that is true. But that person that did that, probably you could have had a spouse and kids of their own and parents and this and that and everything else. And so now they're trying to cope with this new life that's impacting them in this negative way. And even though it was, can be construed as a positive reason, if that's even makes sense, but it's hard for it would be hard for them to see the sunshine in this scenario. Well, you know, I'm sure they're happy someone's life got saved or whatever. I get they understand that, but how much relief is that for them day to day?
Well, and I was going to say, I don't know why this happened to pop up into my brain, but it's almost like that whole, like you said, the duality of loss is sort of like this trope that's played up on in film and stuff like that. But like, it's like, honestly, this whole analogy of like, oh, these people are heroes, it kind of reminds me, I don't remember which comic book it was, but there's a Spider-Man comic book where Spider-Man dies one of the 100 times that he's died. And Aunt May is obviously clearly distressed, but like Captain America is like, oh, he was a hero, and Aunt May like just sucker punches him, and he's like, she's like, he was not a hero, he was my, you know, he was my son type thing. And it's like that painted picture of, you know, a casualty is still a casualty, right? You know, you have to, but I feel like the movie does this, let me preface this, the movie does a good job of making it seem normal, so you become kind of like, oh, okay, so it's okay. But in reality, it's like, no, it's not okay. Like, this whole situation is not cool. Like, in reality, if you go even just a step deeper, the reason that people are having to conscript in the first place is because the government failed.
Yeah.
Right? The government failed to basically save the populace, and now the populace has to step in and basically voluntarily kill themselves to make up for what the government messed up on. So, and I feel like that's like the big message here is that, like, in real life, if something like this were to happen, it's not going to be the government that pays. It's going to be you and me. You know what I mean? And that's something that they painted a very clear picture of, is that, yeah, you know, shit goes south, we're going with it.
Yeah, they did a very good job of setting up that weird normalcy, so that then they could say, okay, now let's take a step back and let us tell you this story.
Right.
Within that, and so, yeah, it's great. It's almost like they plop the onion down on the table and say, okay, now let's peel back the layers and show you what's beneath or whatever. And it's and again, it worked for them. And like I said, I think they should be praised that they did it without making it over cluttered and everything else. They kept it in the impactfulness and in the simplicity of the situation, because there was enough there that they didn't have to, you know, they didn't have to put too many coats of paint on it to really get what they needed to get. And they understood that. Circling back around again, to me, it's a good movie. It's a thriller. I don't know, again, in retrospect, I mean, I know it's on Shudder and everything else. I don't feel like this is a truly, I know horror is a very wide encompassing genre, but to me, this didn't have a lot of horror elements. There's some assumed tension and there's some assumed spookiness. But if you don't pause to think of it as deeply as we just had this discussion, you don't pick up on that really. If you just watch the movie a little more at face value, you know, it's a good movie.
But I don't know that there's a whole lot of horror or that tension that comes apart across. I mean, there is some, but it was still a good movie. I am still appreciative that Shudder gave it an outlet, because it like I said, it was enjoyable to watch, and I would advise people to give it a watch, because it was well done. It's a well executed movie.
Yeah, and it's not super long either, which is a big thing. Is that we're oftentimes criticized, we're critical of movies that are long for no reason. And it was weird because, you know, Dave said it and I was actually thinking it, this movie just zoomed by. It just feel like it flowed really well. Everything fit. Everything made sense. They set the tone very perfectly to begin with. So it's not a movie that you're going to feel like, oh, well, I just wasted an hour and a half or 2 hours on. You know, you're going to sit there, you're going to watch and be like, yeah, that was solid. You know?
Yeah. This is very much a movie in three acts. There's the first act of setting it up to get to what you, the meat of the matter, what you know, what they told you is going to, the scenario they're in. They get you to it. Then they give you that middle act of we're going through this scenario. And then they give you the final act of the resolution of this situation and scenario and how they maneuver it and everything else. It's very much a three act play concept, which worked perfectly for this movie. They executed it very well in how they did it. Like I said, you know, it's a very enjoyable movie. It's a movie I told Monica, I said, hey, I think you'd like this movie. I think you'd really enjoy watching it. And, so hopefully she gives it a shot, but, so let's rate this thing. We've rambled on for quite a while about pretty much everything today, which is okay. let's rate this thing. But again, like I said, fun movie. It's not breaking any molds, makes you think, but to me, this is one of those prototypical straight up the middle 3 out of 5 kind of movie. It's fun. I would give it a rewatch, but it's not one of those movies that when we sit there and we come down to, okay, what are the best movies we watched this year? It's probably not coming up in that conversation. Not meaning any disrespect, but it's just very much a middle of the pack, nice, easy, fun movie to watch. So I'm giving it a 3 screams out of 5.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, I feel like that's probably like the best way to approach it in this case, because like you said, this movie was by no means breaking any new ground. There wasn't anything in this movie that I was like, oh yeah, this is super new, super fresh, this, that, and the other. You know, there were great things about the movie. There really truly were. And but, you know, there's only so much you can do with the sort of genre that this is in, which is sort of like that, you know, political, ecological, disaster-esque movie where, you know, it's end of the world. We got to figure out how to save ourselves type thing. So, yeah, there. You know, it's wasn't horrible, but 3.5 out of 5, I feel like, is sort of the baseline for this kind of movie.
Yep. All right, there you have it. Go again. You can check this out on Shudder now. So go give it a watch and let us know what you think. Let us know if you watched the movie and it inspired this whole whirlwind of thoughts and as deep as we did, because I don't know. This is what we do when we watch these movies. We sit around and think about it and. I sometimes don't even know if the creators themselves have thought about the movie as deeply as we did, but I'm sure they're very happy that it inspired the thought. So
it was made by Cronenberg. I'm sure.
There you go. So again, next week, speaking of deep little movies, we're watching Trap, and I'm sure this movie is going to it's going to stir all kinds of thoughts. And I'm hoping that it's some mind blowing thoughts, right? I'm hoping we get that take you one way that you think you're going, and you try to figure it out, you try to do it, and bam, they knock you 180 and give you just take your breath away with something that you didn't expect. That's what I'm hoping for with this. So let's see if they deliver that extreme. But again, I don't think we're gonna go bad with this movie anyway, even if it doesn't go that far. I'm sensing good things, so that's coming next week. Trap, that's what we'll be reviewing then. Before we get out of here, we'd like to say thank you to the wives and all of you listeners and followers for all your support, encouragement, interaction, etc. Thank you for all of that and all that you do. So Ike, before we finally close this sucker down, anything you want to throw in there?
Well, you know, just start caring about the environment, guys. you know, I don't want to have to enlist or conscript or whatever. So it'd be preferable. So let's watch out for the environment, guys.
Yeah, I think I'm old enough now that if it happens, I'll already be gone. I already have done my part. So you know, but you never know. But yeah, regardless of where you stand and what you think, it never hurts to be a little kinder to Mother Earth, and sure. No matter what. So she takes care of us. Let's take care of her. So there you have it. Again, next week we'll be reviewing the movie Trap. So try to go out and watch that. Support horror movies in cinema, and that way when we talk, even though we won't give away a lot of spoilers. As we formulate our thoughts, you can follow along and see what you thought as well. So until next episode, which will be out next week, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.